prayers. Gracious Father, we thank you for bringing us here once again. Thank you for the week that ended yesterday. Thank you for making us to see the beginning of another week. We leave ourselves in your hands, you that knows eternity, that your grace and your mercy will stand for us. Bless the Sunday school. And Lord, your children that might still be on their way cooking their pace, those who are not here, be with them, dear Father. That at the end of it, we have every cause to glorify your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. While we remain standing, let's open our Bible to Matthew chapter 17. We'll be rounding up the long teaching we took the other time. That's remain one service. We'll be rounding it up today, God willing. So we just use this Sunday school to do the summary. The Sunday school teacher is busy this morning, so it has I'll be using his time to do the summary. All right, Matthew 17 from verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringing them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Either wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 6. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. God bless you. Can please be seated. For about 14 times before I traveled, and before the pastor started taking services, we were on this subject of spiritual adoption. And like I said, it remained just one service. And because it's long now, I want to do a recap in the Sunday school. And then in the main service, we'll finish the topic. Right. Yeah, while we took something from physical adoption that the prophet spoke about in 2 places which we read. We are not going to be reading the quotes now, which we read. And then we also talk about the practical, where the junior brother of Abraham by the name of Jesse Abraham adopted a child, and the child was dedicated by the prophet. That is to show that it's not that the prophet just spoke about it, he believed it, and he had his blessing on those that had it during his time. And then after that, we started on the spiritual aspect. And in the physical one, as we said that time, that someone that wants to adopt a child, you don't adopt a pregnancy. Or does anybody do that? You don't adopt a pregnancy. Or maybe you see a man and woman go married, and you say the first child you are going to bring forth, I will adopt it. It's not possible, because you are not even sure child will come out of it. you are not sure whether the child will come out, will be an imbecile, or will have some chronic disease that you cannot cope with. So you can't do that even while the child is in the womb. You want the child to come out, look at the child that is a very healthy child, perfect one that you can cope with. You must at least be interested and whatsoever. And so because of that, a child must come out first before someone adopts the child. And you know whether it's a boy or girl you are also adopting. Even though you can say you know through the scan, but sometimes the scan nowadays, they get it wrong. Once in a while it does happen that they say it's male and come out to be female, or say it's female and come out to be male. And that is imperfection of anything that man does. So in other words, the child must be out, seen, tested, certified, healthy, before whosoever is interested will show interest in adopting the child. Now in the case of God, he is infinite. He knows the end from the beginning. So he doesn't need to assume or to presume. He knows this child, the end of the child from the beginning. So that is why the scripture that we read said predestinated us unto adoption. And the time that he did that predestination unto adoption, it was when we have not even been conceived in our mother's womb. That is when that has been done. And that happened because of his foreknowledge, knowing the end from the beginning. It is not today that God now begins to love us. He has loved us before we were even formed in our mother's womb. Before our great-great-great-great-grandfather was ever born, he has already foreordained and predestinated us, and he has loved us, and he has put our names on the Lamb's Book of Life, and everything is settled about us. What we are going through is a playback of the recorded program of the Almighty God. So, and the prophet told us too about predestination, where we went through three scriptures. First Peter chapter 1 verse 19 and 20, then Revelation chapter 17 verse 8, and then Revelation chapter 13 verse 8. The prophet used the three scriptures together. We gave the quotations from adoption part 1 then. He used these scriptures, three scriptures together, to tell us that election looks back at foreknowledge. In other words, what take off first, what start first is God's foreknowledge. Like we now, we are limited, we are finite. We don't know beyond this second. Nobody know what will happen by 9 o'clock this morning. There's no mortar. People can put so many things down, say this is the program of the day. That is as far as man is concerned. That is why there is the saying that man proposes, God disposes. It is only God that can say that this is what will happen at so-so time, at so-so place. His infinite and foreknowledge makes him to know that. And nothing can change it. Amen. So we have foreknowledge, then we have predestination or election, and then the prophet said that predestination look forward to destiny. Once somebody is predestinated, then is destined to arrive somewhere, and nothing stop it. Like we gave an analogy of a plane. I'm sure many of us have that experience. You enter the plane, as they are shutting the door of the plane, they will tell you that this plane is also place bound. In other words, this plane, as it take off now, we used to say there's no bus cup in the sky. You cannot say I'm hearing one sound, so I want to quickly land here. They can only look for the next available airport. If none is available within the time that the fort can carry, then which means that everybody have to say their last prayer, except the miracle happens. All right. So, when it takes off, All things being equal, where it will land is that place they have mentioned. And that is how predestination is. Predestination look forward to destiny. Like, but in the scriptures, we see the principles of the scripture, God's own principles. Where we mortal, where we have our trouble, is because we don't have sufficient faith in the exact word of Jesus Christ, in the exact word of God. That was how the Israelites had the problem. They were asked, they were told that there is a land that is flowing with milk and honey that God has reserved for them, and they took off. You find out that God was checking them at every junction to see whether they actually believed. All that they needed to have to be able to believe, it has been shown them in Egypt. But unfortunately, they are dull of hearings, their understandings are not as it should be. They misunderstood God. Therefore, they chide God at every junction. So, and finally, when they go to Kadesh Barnea, one person was taken from each tribe to go and spy the land that they are going to. 12 tribes. They went there, they came back, they actually saw the land. Not only saw the land, but they came with the fruit of the land, which should be sufficient evidence. But when they came back, then they added their thoughts to it. Only two people took notice of what God said, that the land I have given to you. And the tense that God used was past tense, a settled matter. That is what predestination does. It looks at destiny. It is a settled matter that I have given you the land. Then human being wants to know how. That is where we run to a problem. But God does not owe us those explanations of how. That is why the prophet said, he allowed us to operate by faith. He said, the just shall live by faith. You've got to approach every situation on a daily basis by faith. If everything, the prophet said that if God has to take you and put you through a pipe and then bring you out from the other end, he said, then there's no overcoming on our part. But he's got to set it in a way that everybody must have something to overcome. Because how is he going to condemn the sinners? If he passed the believers through a pipe, how will he condemn the sinner? Everybody must have exams to write before they say this won't pass and this won't fail. Not only that, each person must also have been exposed to the same lessons by the same teacher with the same syllabus, and they will go through the same thing, and then they are given the same exam and the same examiner mark it. We know that when it comes to the realm of human being, there could be things that will happen that will not flow well. That we know. Maybe like a demon possessed lecturer say, this one you will not pass my lesson because you didn't do this one. This one you will not pass my subject because whatever, whatever. God is not like that. You operate in a level ground. Therefore, he give everybody the same opportunity to hear the same thing. They are shown the same example. And then at the end of the day, they are given the same exam. Not exactly the same exam as per exactly the same trials. No. But everybody passes through trials. And the trials they will pass through is according to their level. God does not give a university exam to a primary school student. He doesn't do that one. That is why I say that God is faithful, that he will not tempt you above what you are able to survive. He does not do that. So he knows each one's ability. Then he will give to you just what is according to your level, so that you'll be able to bear it. That is God's principle. He's so faithful like that. That is why we are still in the journey. If he has given you what is more than you, you will have back out. If he has given me what is more than myself, I will have back out. I couldn't back out because the things that he gave to me as trials, that the thing he has given me the grace to be able to survive and to pass through. Praise be to God. Right. And in passing, we mentioned the mule. The reason why we mentioned the mule is because we see that it's not everybody that comes within the range of God's word that are able to conjecture or to grasp actually what God is trying to pass across to the people. There are some that just look, 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 and then they go back. Then you wonder, why is that? It is because we are not all the same. It's only God that knows what. Election is not written on the earth. The prophet said, any child that is born, if that child is going to be a child of God, at birth, he says something as small as the end of the nail is slipping to the person's soul. He said, that is what is predestinated, the seed of God. And he said, that seed that is put in there is actually the word of God for that age, encapsulated, compressed, put inside, that when the light strike on it, it will explode. That when he hear that God sent the prophet, there will be something inside, a magnet, that will magnetize it. When you hear that this is how repentance is to be, there is something inside that will say that is the truth. When you say that you will be baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, he will not say the one I've done the denomination is okay, or even if you mark your head, it's still okay, there's no problem to it. No. That seed will be tapping that one and be recognizing it. That seed, it is the word of God for that age, compressed in seed form and deposited in the heart of every believer in each generation. Amen. All right. So we have the meal. The prophet said that they don't have a seed inside of them that could be quickened. So that is why they don't understand the message. That is why they cannot believe the message. That is why the message is strange to them. Because God did not make that deposit there. And it's not that God is wicked. It's just because they were not God's own children before the foundation of the world. Okay, this is the parable Jesus gave of the parable of the sower, or the parable of the wheat and tares is this simplest one. He said, a man in white, after he plowed his field, it was his own field, he plowed it, and then he went and planted wheat throughout in the daytime. But the Bible said, that parable said, while men slept, there was another man in black that carried other seed that was planting in between, in all those spaces. And you know that when you are planting, it depends on what you are planting. You know, if you are planting, let us say corn, there's an interval, isn't it? Interval that you'll be planting them. Look at all these spaces that is left in between. Then somebody else came and planted in all these spaces. Let me see if another color of something is here. Then somebody else came. Begin to see how many is planting here. And it planted like this all over the place, that the whole place looked like it is actually a field of tears. But there is wheat there. Can you see it now? You see how few the black is compared to the blue? That black represents the seed of God, while the blue represents the tears. So when the servant woke, when it was day, another day break, and the whole thing sprang up. And then the servant said, Master, but you planted the wheat in your field. How does it have the tears? Oh, he said, it's the enemy that did that. He said, then, let's do weeding then. Give us instruction so that we can go and uproot it. He said, you can't do it. Leave them and let them grow together. In the time of the harvest, I will send my angels. The prophet said, who are these angels? When the prophet was talking about the angels, he talked about the messenger of each age and the preachers. They will bring the word of God. The word of God is operation. Show your ID card. The Bible in the book of Isaiah 10 said, to the word and testimony of what it is, I can't remember that thing now. He said, if they cannot catch the word, it's because there's no light in them. Show your ID card. When you present the word of God to anyone, and there is nothing in the heart of that person to react to it or to respond to it, it means that there is no seed inside. And that is how the word of God identifies this message that we believe now. It has gone to several thousands, if not millions, in your state, one way or the other. Maybe where you work, where you school, if you represent him there, or in your neighborhood, and then maybe weddings, maybe conventions, maybe through so many means, it has gone. Don't you say it has gone? It's not only we here, there are several other people too that are also proclaiming. Also, even today, it's going out in Facebook, it's going out, even as corrupt as those medias are, you see have that inside of it. Some people are also still putting testimonies about the message there. Is that correct? Whether you scroll it off, whether you whatsoever, you have seen it. The testimony has passed your domot. It is recorded that the person he has been witness to. Amen. That's how it goes. So we have the mule, which the prophet said in summary. Just a minute. I want to pick it from one quote I put here in 7th Church Age Book. Is it this one, self? 7th Church Age Book. Yep. Now the prophet said, the mule has no seed in him that can be quickened, but the horse has seed. Because in this 7th Church Age Book, Smyrna Church Age, the prophet talked about hybrid there. He said, talk about a hybrid. He said, the most famous hybrid in the world, which have been with us in all ages, is a mule. He said, it is a cross between donkey and a horse. And, donkey is an animal that was created by God and was named by Adam. A horse is another animal created by God and named by Adam. And the Bible said that all these animals that Adam gave name to, he said that was the name thereof. Is that the scripture? But human being crossed these two together because they wanted an animal that can outwork both a donkey and a horse. And then they brought out a mule, which was not God's provided way. Because according to the law of God of reproduction, Genesis 1:11, let every seed bring forth after its kind. But this one is a cross between the two. And the prophet said, they actually brought a mule. But a mule does not know the father and the mother. He doesn't know whether it was a male donkey or whatsoever that gave birth to him or male. So it's just like that. If they say the family of donkeys should gather, he cannot go there. If they call for the family of us, he can also not go there. So he's left in the middle. So he doesn't have any genealogy that you can trace back anywhere. He's also the food store, because mule and mule can also not meet together and reproduce another one. Baran says it's a miserable animal. That is how a type of religious mule is. Brother Abraham said, a donkey represents a Christian, born-again Christian. He said, an ass represents a sinner that know that I am a sinner. It's actually good for somebody to be a sinner and know he's a sinner and acknowledge that he's a sinner. You may think it's not a bad thing at all. Brother Abraham said that, I would rather go to heaven as a sinner than a hypocrite. Yeah, that is appear before God as a sinner. You know you are a sinner and you appear before God as a sinner is better. Though we are not saying it is encouraging for one to, you understand what the prophet is saying. He's only talking against hypocrisy. So you see that he said that the ass now can be redeemed because it's a type of the sinner. And the donkey is a type of a Christian. Say, but the mule takes refuge in the church. He doesn't take refuge in the blood. He doesn't know why he's in church. He is not a Christian, but he say he's a Christian. Inside of his heart, he knows that there's no victory. He knows that what he's battling with 30 years ago is what he's still battling with now. The works of the flesh are still having preeminence. And yet, he did not own up to it. He's still believing that anyhow, anyhow, maybe when the rapture will come, anyhow, anyhow. But Abraham said that God is not a magician. That people think that when you die, that God will switch a key to change you. That's the Catholic teaching. When the Reverend Father or Bishop or whatever will come and do Publius, whatever they call it, Dominion, whatever. I don't know those languages because I've never been a Catholic. Right. So, that's why we pass that way of a meal. Then after that, we come to the new birth because we are talking about spiritual adoption. And in the physical, we say a child that is going to be adopted will be born first. So we came to the new birth. And we coast the whole thing up and down. We spoke about an example of a natural sinner, the product of an earthly parent, through the message of paradox that was preached in Chicago, paragraph 16 to 31. And the prophet gave us the history of that boy that the parent brought to the prophet, that there's a problem, that they don't know what is causing it, and they want a solution. And when they presented the problem, Abraham said, well, he himself is familiar with the case because he has also passed their neighborhood, greeted the girl who is a sibling to this boy, greeted the girl, do everything, request that he should come and visit them. He said, but the girl will just be looking, staring at you, no response. And the prophet said, the family of the father of the boy and the family of the father of the girl, both of them have some special situation in them. One of the family is there that Abraham said they are high strong, high temper, and very terrible set of people, and they don't forgive. He said there is another group that they are irreverent to religion. You know, he gathered the whole thing together. They are, each of them are terrible demons. Then he now said the combination of the two was bred into that boy. So the boy now has complex. Complex is an accumulation of demons that you cannot actually say this is the thing. It's very difficult to really say this is it. But it's a complex. It's a gathering together of demonic whatsoever, you know, inside one person. And that is how this boy is. And Abraham said, the boy needs the new birth. The father said, hey, Brother Abraham, my son has come to Christ. He came to the altar. I look at my kroko with my eye. I saw him, he came to the altar. Not only that one, he was baptized in the pool. Go and change his garment, and he was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by immersion. Brother Abraham said, all those emotions are fine. Anyone can go through it. Say, what I'm talking about is beyond that one. What I'm saying is that you and your wife, you are also like your natural family before. But you went through a process and you had a new birth. That is what has changed your situation now. He said, except your son also go through that. Abraham said, this thing is very difficult to tell people sometimes. He said, it is hard. He said, but when it comes to this, we must be truthful. Every preacher must be truthful. If somebody is not truthful, he has no business behind the pulpit. Because the greatest deceit you can deceive human beings is to deceive them something that has to do with their eternal destination. You see somebody that is promiscuous and you are saying that he's all right spiritually. You see somebody that dressed like an harlot, you say they are okay spiritually. You see somebody that is a thief, you say they are okay spiritually. You see somebody that is full of anger,
that can blow this building in 2 minutes, say it's okay spiritually, that person is a deceiver. One of these days, he's going to face it himself as a deceiver. Like that pastor that told that girl who was a Sunday school teacher also that you are okay. But when the girl was facing death, she knew different. He said, call that pastor. He said, call that deceiver. So when the pastor came, he said, you are a deceiver. You told me I was okay when I was not okay. So ministers have got to be very honest and sincere, whether it will not make you to have money, whether it will not make people to love you, whether it will not make people to be happy when you are preaching, it matters nothing. When it is time to be happy, we will be happy. When it is time to frown, we will frown. When it is time to nail it on the head, we got to nail it on the head. Otherwise, one of these days, there are some preachers that will face this same judgment that you are a deceiver. The people will go in their pocket and reach down and bring their hard-earned money to support you, and you cannot tell them the truth. Of course, sometimes there is a modern gospel you can preach that will make people to be flowing money to you. There are the ones you can preach that you will hardly get money to transfer yourself from one place to another one. Oh, sure. It doesn't matter nothing. Even if somebody is the one that feed me from now till next year, if I come to this place, I've got to be honest and tell the truth. Amen. I don't care where the person comes from. Make him put fire on his head. It's either I don't talk at all. If I must talk, I will say the truth. Amen. So that boy needed a new bath. And anyone today that still carry the nature of their earthly parents, that is what you see, they can say that's how they do in their family. It means that person have not met Christ. It means that Christ is not yet the parent of that person. That's how they do in their tribe. I'm an Egyptian man, naturally. That's where I came from, in the natural birth. If people can see the Egyptian spirit reflecting, Egyptian people are very stubborn. Oh, sure. They are just carbon copy of a twin sister of a Kiti people. They are stubborn. They are stubborn, very hard-headed, very stubborn. And, well, people also say that they are stingy. I don't know, because I see some of them, they are whatever, that I don't, but there are stubbornness, that one I support. Either of them, if those is what somebody is carrying, he needs a new bag. Simple. The person has got into, he need a new bag. If a Kiti man display for you here, you have to hide your head. If a Jesha man display for you here, in anger, car, you will hide your head. But when Christ take over, it will be a different. You will not be able to say that this one is an Egyptian person, except when he says it. Igbo has their own. Igbo na pari madu. Ego sirike. That is Igbo man for you in the natural. For Kobo to come out of an Igbo man, heaven will almost fall. But when somebody is converted, when he's converted, he doesn't look at, when he has the money, he will bring it when it is needed. But if it is not conversion, there is no situation that money can come out of here. You must labor for it. Of course, Igbo believe that you must labor, and they do labor, really. That's one thing. Igbo man, they labor. In fact, they don't go and be asking for help. That is part of their, is just in the blood. But also, if they finally get money, don't come home and say, Inyeme go, Inyeme gini. You cannot go and meet them and say, give me money. You say, give me what? Go and work, my friend. Now, we believe that everybody should work. But then, there are people that labor, is still will not do it. When you have, our religion go beyond that.
you must bring out from what you have and support. We'll continue when we come to the service. Shall we bow our heads? Gracious eternal Father, we ask that you add your blessings upon this. May the Holy Spirit rightly place it in our hearts. When we come back in the main service, we pray you shower your blessings upon us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.